The good news of Jesus comes to us in the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After he appeared to his followers in Jerusalem, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came into the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them. He did the same for fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time, Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And Peter said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wish. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hand, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. After this, Jesus said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. Oh God, we can scarcely begin to imagine the power and light which people experienced as your Son appeared to them, to open their hearts, to fill them with love, to change their lives forever. Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts to experience the risen Christ here among us this day, just as he promised he would be whenever we gather in his name. Let us hear his words. Let us sense his power. Let us know that by the Spirit you are calling us. In Jesus' name. Easter continues. Easter continues. It's the weekend for college spring football games. Baseball season is back in full swing. Today, April 10th, is actually National Siblings Day. So make sure you give your brother or sister a hug or call them on the phone if you need to. And it's Sunday at the Masters. But Easter continues. all vestiges of Easter out of the stores. Teachers have been back to school for at least a full week. A lot of time and energy is being devoted to our lawns and gardens and other spring activities. Work is work day after day. Life is pretty much back to its ordinary routines. But Easter continues. And in the midst of it all, we are still people of Jesus' story. The ongoing story of the resurrected living Christ. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
I guess I really know that we all, myself included, can get so caught up in the challenges and routines and pressures and things that need to be done in the world that it's all too often so very easy to forget that it's still Easter. Now, I'm not just talking about forgetting that today is day number 15 in the 50 days of the Easter season of the church. I'm really talking about something much more important than that. How easy it is to get so caught up in the stuff of the world that we can forget we are living in a different, completely different type of reality. Where Jesus has been resurrected. And for us who have received the call to follow Jesus, everything in life is reshaped, reformed, redefined by that miraculous truth. Here on the third Sunday of Easter, we have a very significant gospel lesson for the 21st chapter of John. Now, last week, the gospel lesson was from John's 20th chapter. In chapter 20 of John, the gospel shares how after the tomb was discovered empty on Easter morning, the resurrected Jesus began to appear to those who had come to know him and follow him even before his death. The resurrected Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene in the garden in the midst of her grief and tears, calls her by name, and brings hope and joy into her heart. And in fact, there in that Jerusalem garden, Mary, encountering the resurrected Jesus, is able to live out the actual words we read today in that ancient psalm, Psalm 30. You have turned my wailing into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. And so it was for Mary. In chapter 20 of John goes on, it tells how the resurrected Jesus appeared to the disciples in a locked room, still there in Jerusalem, and how in the midst of their total fear over what was going to happen to them, Jesus shows up and shows them the wounds in his hands and offers them that gift which could be found nowhere else. Peace be with you, he said. And he even comes back the next week to share that gift of peace with Thomas, who was missing that first Easter. I wonder how many times, where in your life has the resurrected Jesus appeared to bring you those same things? In the midst of tears, in the midst of grief, side of a tomb, where is the resurrected Jesus to let you know that God's love is victorious and powerful enough to conquer even death itself? Or where in the midst of life's difficulties, in the midst of perhaps total fear of what is happening around you or fear of what the future holds, has the resurrected Jesus somehow showed up in ways that cannot be seen with the eyes or maybe even heard with the ears, but has shown up to give you that gift of peace. That inexplicable gift of peace in your heart which cannot be described in the world's words. Last week, at the end of chapter 20 in John, we heard these concluding sentences. Remember? Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in His name. Now that would make a wonderful concluding paragraph of the Gospel of John. And indeed it concludes chapter 20. But today, we read from chapter 21. Because for some reason, John decides that there at least must be one more appearance of Christ that he lets us know about. And so we hear this wonderful story today of Jesus, the resurrected Lord, appearing to seven of the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, or as we know it, the Sea of Galilee. And why was that so important? That even after seemingly writing a concluding paragraph to his entire gospel, John would want to go back and add just one more thing. Tell about one more sign that we might know it still today. Consider this. It is truly wonderful that Jesus appeared to Mary and the other disciples way back in Jerusalem after he was raised from the tomb. But this account today that John adds as a bonus in chapter 21 tells us that the resurrected Christ, the miracle of Easter, would not be confined by geography to that holy city. And those episodes there in that holy city were not just some kind of encounter the disciples had with a spirit or a ghost who was showing up in the place where he met his demise. But Jesus, the resurrected Christ, was showing up in Galilee, miles and miles and miles away, the home of the disciples. And furthermore, in this account, the work of the resurrected Christ would not be confined by time. For it was not just that Jesus showed up on a few occasions on Easter Day or in the first week. But now the resurrected Jesus is continuing to show up weeks after. In today's gospel, we find the disciples back to their routines of life. Their ordinary stuff, not unlike us. Time has elapsed since the events of Good Friday and Easter Sunday, and they are back at home in Galilee doing what they had always done their entire lives before they met Jesus. They are fishing. They've had a particularly tough go of it. They have caught nothing, and they are frustrated. Until Jesus shows up in a completely new and entirely different way. He shows up as the resurrected Lord. Now, everyone knew that Jesus had worked signs of great power back when he was walking around the sea in his earthly ministry. But this account tells us that those deeds of great power would not be limited to that previous ministry of Jesus. And the disciples would learn that the things they had experienced from Jesus would not be just memories. Here is the resurrected Jesus back in their home, miles away from the holy city, helping them catch their fish and even cooking them breakfast, working in their daily routine to bring joy and hope in the midst of their frustrations, to bring the past present. The resurrected Jesus continued give them hope. You see, here on the shores of the Galilean Sea, all those weeks after Easter, the seven disciples meet a surprising truth. They are still people of Jesus' story. A story not confined to events of the past, events to things that happened before Jesus was crucified, but a story still being written with ever new unfolding chapters, the ways that the risen Christ would come and work in their lives. This resurrected Jesus seeks out Peter, who had denied him three times. And three times the resurrected Jesus gives Peter the opportunity to tell him face to face that he loves him. Peter's past would not have to haunt him the rest of his life. For now, his past words of denial will be replaced by words of love. All because the resurrected Jesus came to him and sought him out to give him that opportunity of a fresh start, a new beginning. In today's first lesson, we are reminded that the impact and work of the resurrected Jesus would continue even after his ascension to heaven. For it's after his ascension to heaven that he shows up on the Damascus Road and appears to Saul and completely transforms this man's life and opens his heart to the undying love of God. And it is the resurrected Jesus that the Apostle John sees in that glorious vision of heaven, with creatures of all the universe gathered around the throne, giving the resurrected Lord praise. In commenting on today's lessons, one of our Lutheran sources writes the following. It says, "This Sunday, the third Sunday of Easter, the risen Christ appears to Saul in the Scriptures on the Damascus Road as a blinding light. He appears to John the visionary as an enthroned lamb in the realms of heaven. And he appears to seven disciples as someone giving them fishing tips and serving them breakfast that he cooked for them himself. Which is your favorite?" Amazing. You have a choice. Which is your favorite? Which inspires you most? Which uplifts you? As we go back to all these regular routines of daily life, do you find inspiration in knowing that the resurrected Christ can bring life transforming light into your life in even the darkest of times? Do you find inspiration in the vision of the risen Christ amidst a gathering of all the creatures and saints of heaven, there singing praises of God for eternity, along with loved ones of your own, loved ones of faith who have joined that eternal choir? Do you find inspiration in the story of the resurrected Jesus appearing again to his followers amidst their daily routines of life, just as surely as he comes to you in surprising ways, in frustrating times, in difficult moments, to feed you with the bread of hope of life? What might be your favorite? All of them are mine. Easter continues. Not just in here in this world, but in here in our lives. How does it feel to be a person of Jesus' story? Not a perfect person, not someone who has earned a way into the kingdom, not someone who is better than everybody else, but someone who is loved and forgiven and sought out and uplifted by the resurrected Jesus. Each and every day, in ways that we cannot see or hear perhaps, or even explain. As we close, think for a moment about the people who are listed in today's scriptures as people in Jesus' story. There is Saul, who had spent his entire life persecuting those who followed the Lord. There is Thomas, with all his doubts that Jesus didn't even be alive. There is Nathanael, who, if you remember, when he first encountered Jesus, said, "There is nothing good that can come out of that." There are James and John, those brothers who argue with each other in their own sibling rivalry over who would be the greatest. There is Simon Peter, who even in spite of his own bravado, denied 3 times when it came down to it that he even knew who Jesus was. All these folks listed in today's story, it is they who are people of Easter. People like you and me. In spite of everything we have done, in spite of our failures, in spite of our shortcomings, nonetheless, have heard the call. The same call, those beautiful words which Jesus gave. Follow. Easter continues as the resurrected Jesus comes to people like you and me. And by the Spirit, we hear that call. Follow. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.